I am reading online. I was just so intrigued by the story on the front page of the paper today about Mike Madigan and the ComEd 4 and that trial. You know that Madigan was found guilty on several charges, not guilty on all of them, and now we're awaiting his sentencing. But it's interesting that all of that with the ComEd 4 is in a little bit of limbo because of what happened to the mayor of Portage, Indiana. And I'm just reading a story in the Tribune that says the former Portage mayor, James Snyder, will be back on trial in the U.S. District Court in Hammond this fall for the third time on a bribery charge involving a $13,000 payment for a garbage truck contract. And I don't know if you've paid any attention to this. I'll bet you haven't, but as little as I have, it goes something like this. Was it bribery when the contract goes to somebody via the mayor, and then the guy that gets the contract gives the mayor a really nice gift? What if the gift doesn't come before, which would seem as a quid pro quo? I'll give you this if you give me the city business. Now I'm going to get rich off the contract, and what do you know? You've got thousands of dollars. Or if it comes afterwards, it's just, we so appreciate the business of the city, I'm going to take you out to dinner, and here's $13,000 or something like that. Now, is it a bribe if it comes after the fact? Because it obviously couldn't be greasing the skids. There's no quid pro quo here. I didn't give you the money in exchange for the deal, but I gave you a thank you afterwards. And that's the last interpretation of it as I understand it. That, in fact, that guy then doesn't go to jail. He's not in trouble because he gave the contract back to the mayor, or the mayor got the money back after the fact. It's a thank you. It's not a bribe. Wow. So now anybody that can look sideways can go ahead and still do dirty deals. You've just got to agree that you'll make the payment after the contract is signed. And it is that interpretation that might ultimately influence the outcome of the ComEd 4. So it's just something to pay attention to, if not so much for the fate of those four or six individuals, as much for what do we think about that principle. And it is maybe innocently enough something you or I might do on occasion, right? Like, hey, we just signed a big deal. Our company got a big contract with this other company, and we're all going out to dinner, and they gave us some sort of gift, and it was really swell. That's not a bribe, for goodness sakes. This happens all the time. That's just business. It's, hey, thanks for your business. Eric Zorn, what do you think about that? How am I selling it?
Well, you're not selling it all that well, John. It seems to me like when you frame it as a tip, but it's something that becomes expected, that it does very little in my mind to counteract the corruption in the system. I mean, if when you're dealing with a city and you want a contract, then everybody knows that if you get that contract, you'll give them $13,000 in this case. If that's understood with a nod and a wink, the difference between that and a bribe is totally academic in my mind. But the courts found otherwise, and so that's the new world we live in now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, for now, I mean, he is going to go on trial for a third time. I'm not sure if these must be the old charges, but maybe because jury instructions or something was wrong, now they're going to do it again. But perhaps we have not heard the end of this. And of course, I'm with you on that. I think it's absurd that we would allow, I think if nothing else, just as a practical matter, you should put a dollar limit then on that. No company can give a thank you gift to anybody. Well, heck, we have that at the radio station. You probably had it at the Tribune when we were there. If it's like over $25, you have to report it, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, we had a very strict ethics policy of the Tribune. You could not take anything. The rule of thumb was nothing more valuable than a keychain, which, of course, it means just a minimal gift that you were allowed to accept.
Right.
But you know, it was just not done. You couldn't. I used to have breakfast with Dick Durbin every year or so, and I always had to pay for my own breakfast. according to the Tribune, it was like ridiculous. It was
really?
Like $15, whatever. But yeah, they were really strict about that. But I was glad about it. I don't want to owe Dick Durbin anything or any politician anything. And I think that makes sense. It's the cleanest way to do it. Now, unfortunately, you have a situation where in American politics, it runs on money. And when you give a campaign donation, I mean, any company that gives a substantial donation, say, to a presidential inauguration, just for example, that company is going to expect something in return. And, you know, that's just the way, that's life, you know, unfortunately. But
yeah, well, so that's why they have PACs and foundations. We didn't give it to the president. We gave it to the people that are putting on the party for the president, and then it's less regulated. I wonder if that keychain at the Tribune that you were able to accept, what if it had on it a key to a shiny new car?
I should have thought of that. But
you guys were so circumspect about that. When you worked at the Tribune, I was always trying to get you to go on a Kelly cruise. I said, you should host a cruise. And you said, we can't do that. I can't take it. I can't go on a cruise. That would be some sort of remuneration, and I can't do that.
I know. I mean, I can do it now, though. I mean, if I were former Mayor Snyder's attorney, I would be advising him to be talking about how great Donald Trump is.
Yeah.
What a wonderful man he is. Because if he's convicted, Trump might just pardon him.
Yeah, that has happened before. It may happen again. Eric Zorn is on the line. I didn't introduce you officially. He is the publisher of a local newsletter called the Picayune Sentinel. He'll send it to you for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com, a longtime columnist for the Chicago Tribune and now a member of our Mincing Rascals podcast panel. The mayor of Chicago is in Washington, D.C. Why? Why will he sit before that committee? Does he have to go before this congressional committee and let them yell at him for being a sanctuary city, or can he avoid that thing?
Well, no, he could have refused the invitation, but then they could have subpoenaed him, and he would have had to testify. I think that's why Steve Bannon went to prison.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
Disobeyed a congressional subpoena. So they could have subpoenaed him. And what they want to do is they want to bring him there and create a spectacle. They're pretty open about that. They've been running advertisements, even commercials, that talking about how awful these cities are. I think they have five mayors coming in, all of them from sanctuary cities.
Austin, Denver,
And they want to get Brandon Johnson on the hot seat and berate him along with the other mayors about not cooperating with federal immigration laws in the way that a sanctuary city doesn't. And I don't know how well Mayor Johnson's going to do. He's been down there for several days. He's being advised by Mayor Lightfoot. I think he's been advised by a former Mayor Lightfoot, former Mayor Emanuel, and some other people about how to deal with this kind of congressional hostility.
There is a crew of people with him. It's close to 10 people that have gone to Washington, D.C. with him on Sunday to get ready for this hearing. And I'm thinking you could have 1,000 people with you. It's not going to go well. You're just going to get yelled at, and then he's going to yell back that flowery word salad stuff he does, and it's not going to help.
I think he's going to have to adopt the tactic that a lot of politicians successfully adopt, which is, like, you don't answer the question that you're asked. You answer the question that you wish you were asked. And he's going to have to just stick on the themes. There was an excellent op-ed in this morning's Chicago Tribune from Peter Cunningham, a former political consultant in Chicago, talking about what it is that Mayor Johnson should say. And maybe that's something you could read a little bit of to your listeners, that he talks about. They're talking about this problem with immigration is one that inaction by Congress has caused over the years, that we have not reformed our immigration system. We don't have a system of allowing people into work and allowing them out and so on. But he's going to have to be able to somehow throw the blame back onto Congress, because otherwise, you know, they're just going to be like, they're going to say, why aren't you enforcing the laws? And it's not going to go well. I think you're right about that. But
yeah, I don't think Lauren Boebert's going to be receptive to that. I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be receptive to that. Raja will go easy on him, I presume, although maybe not real easy. It's a little perilous for Raja because he doesn't want to seem too in bed with these super progressive politics of Chicago, since he'll be running for, I think, state office, that is, maybe U.S. Senate, or who knows what his political fortunes are. But I think they're pretty bright, so he needs to be careful about what he does.
Yeah, and I think the Democrats also need to be careful tonight about how much they make a spectacle during Trump's, I guess it's not technically a State of the Union speech, but it is the annual presidential speech to Congress, that I've been reading a lot about how Democrats are talking about using noisemakers and the signs and stalking out in the middle of the speech and maybe heckling him the way the Republicans have heckled Joe Biden and Barack Obama in the past. And I think that's not going to go well either if they decide to disrupt the speech. I can see Representative Schakowsky's decision not to go, just to sort of to boycott it. I can also see bringing a guest to the festivities who is disadvantaged by some of the things that Elon Musk and Doge are doing. I can see sitting on your hands and not applauding, but I don't like this trend of turning everything in Congress into this awful show of demonstrations and disruptions. I like the idea that it's a dignified speech and we listen to the president and what he has to say, and then we go on the attack afterwards. But if you just turn, I don't want our legislature to turn into some of those things that you see from overseas.
Yes.
The eyes of government where they're getting into fights and
chairs
yelling
are thrown.
But you could see, you could see that if we're headed that direction. And I just, I hope the Democrats, I think they need to fight back in a lot of ways, but I don't think this is the way to do it. If that's what they're planning for tonight.
Former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel's making himself suspiciously available these days. I wanted to ask you a little bit about his fortunes. The Mincing Rascals podcast drops on Wednesdays. It's a panel of smart people in Chicago, and I talk to them about issues that are important to our city. Eric Zorn, the one-time columnist at the Tribune, is on that panel almost every week when he's not playing the fiddle or leading people in a square dance somewhere. And by the way, I said that like that's not a good thing. Or when he's leading a square dance somewhere. The podcast will drop tomorrow. He's also the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. Eric, you're still there?
I'm still here, Jonathan, and no square dancing or singing to seniors this week. I'm on the panel. We're going to have lots to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so what do you make of what Rahm Emanuel has been saying lately?
Well, he does seem to be positioning himself for a run for something. Now, there is, of course, the possibility that J.B. Pritzker will run for president and maybe abandon his gubernatorial ambitions. There's also, I think, his realization that Mayor Brandon Johnson in Chicago has an extremely low approval rating and is really vulnerable in 2027. So I could see him coming back, and he's made some noises like, Chicago's my home, I love it here, and he probably misses the office. He would have to deal with the Laquan McDonald fallout, which is ostensibly the reason why he didn't run when Mayor Lightfoot won in 2019. So I can see him coming back. I can see him saying, look, I am going
Rahm.
To be the, yeah, I can see Rahm coming back and making another run for it. He was, like I say, he was going to have to do some explaining about things that people were unhappy about his tenure. But when you're looking at the kind of ineptitude that Mayor Brandon Johnson has been showing, I can see him making a pretty strong case.
The door's pretty open.
He'd have a ton of money. Now, of course, the Chicago Magazine, so Edward McClellan, has done some nice work rounding up the list of possible candidates for mayor that includes, Susana Mendoza, Paul Vallis again, Alderman Conway. Who else has he got on that list? Of course, Alexi Janulius is also in that mix. So there are a lot of possible candidates. It seems likely that we would have a runoff election again. But I can imagine that where Johnson would not make the runoff the way Mayor Lightfoot didn't make the runoff last time.
Yeah, that was pretty humiliating for her. But her number wasn't 6.7%. Rahm Emanuel said to Bill Maher, he said, dude, round it up. How do you get to 7% favorability? This is Rahm Emanuel talking to Chris Jones. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I'm not done with public service, and I hope public service is not done with me. Jones pointed out, I'm reading from Politico, that Emanuel didn't say no, prompting the former mayor to add, it's not a yes either. Emanuel wasn't just talking about the mayor's job. He's also referring to J.B. Pritzker, as you mentioned, who has not decided yet if he's going to run for re-election again in 26, saying, J.B.'s been a great governor. If he seeks re-election, I'm going to back him 100%. But if Pritzker doesn't run, would Rahm Emanuel want to be the governor of Illinois? In terms of
John, don't forget that there's a strong possibility that Dick Durbin, the senator, will retire and leave that seat open. So that could easily be another And I don't know if he wants to be the senator. I mean, being a Democratic senator these days is probably not all that exciting a job. But I can imagine him running for that office.
Well, you're starting to answer the question I want to ask, which is, okay, you've got to live that life. What would be a better life, mayor of Chicago or senator from Illinois?
I think, well, senator is certainly easier, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know why anyone wants to be mayor of Chicago. What a difficult.
Well, okay, but Rahm, and Rahm's recipe to fix it is stop talking about bathrooms and all of this woke stuff and just talk about schools, talk about crime, talk about prices, just do the nuts and bolts retail politics, and not just talk about them, fix that, address those, start to do things about that, and not streetscapes and some of the other things that might got you elected, but now you've got to actually govern and just start doing the work. That was what Rahm said on, I guess that was Bill Maher's show also. He's been talking to a number of people lately, but that, to me, makes sense, right?
Yeah, when he was on Bill Maher's show, he was very clear. He was saying, like, we've got to deal with these basic things. His line was, stop talking about bathrooms and start talking about classrooms. That was his little slogan. And, yeah, he was trying to make it sound like being mayor of Chicago is easy. You just got to focus on these three core elements of being mayor, and then everything else will fall into place. Way easier said than done, of course. But that sort of message, I think, is going to be appealing to people who want good schools, they want low prices, they want safe streets. And
right.
Those are the three things that you've got to
okay,
promise
then,
when
but,
you're going to be mayor.
So then how did Rahm Emanuel do on that? Now, this is from Axios. Emanuel's critique of city mayors rings hollow when evaluating his own two terms, 2011 to 2019, 8 years in office for Rahm. He had a fair run. Data shows that Emanuel struggled to control shootings and homicides during his tenure. There were 200 fewer homicides in 2024 than in 2016. Think about that. In the middle of Rahm's term, he had more than we did last year in Chicago under Brandon Johnson. Emanuel was also accused of covering up the Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke's murder of Laquan McDonald. Accused of? Oh, no, he did. He did cover it up. I mean, that is as much as I would say Brandon Johnson has left the door open. That's a bar for Rahm to get over or under, right?
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, his defense has been, well, that's the way things were done. We did not release videos back then. That was the standard practice, and I was just following standard practice. I don't think that's good enough. I think that when something like that happens, you can't hide behind protocol. You have to get out and express outrage and determination to find out what happened. He didn't do that, and he paid a very high political price for it. I don't know how fair it is to blame a mayor for these fluctuations in homicide rates that happen kind of all over the country, but you can't wag your finger at another mayor and say you're not doing your job when, in fact, under your administration, the same sort of thing happened. You can't promise that you're going to make streets any safer when you didn't make streets safer when you were mayor. And again, I don't know how much a mayor can do to make streets safer.
Well,
crime is a very complicated issue, and as is policing.
Well, ask Lori Lightfoot about that. It seems to me like the three legs of that stool are the prosecutor, the police chief, and the mayor, and those three were never balanced under Lori Lightfoot. And I think it's very, you know, if you said what's the most important thing about combating crime, yeah, get a tough mayor or smart mayor, figure it out, Mr. Mayor, but I would imagine the state's attorney would be the one that matters as much as any of those.
Right, and the superintendent of police and the policing strategy that goes into it. And that again, it's not easy. Put me in charge. I don't know exactly how I would redeploy my police officers through the city. So
I'm going to put Elon Musk in charge. Elon will figure it out.
Let's do that. That sounds like a great idea.
All right, I'm done talking to you. Eric Zorn will publish the Picayune Sentinel. He'll mail it to you for free if you just email ericzorn@gmail.com. This conversation gets longer, louder, and larger on Wednesdays if you listen to the Mincing Rascals podcast, the podcast for people who care about Chicago. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, John. Talk to you soon.